Amen. Blessing, glory, honor, and power be to Jesus alone. Well, we are back to Vacation Bible School, and we are excited to do it. It's been a few years. Many of you have volunteered to help this beginning tonight through Wednesday night, and I want to thank you for that. Again, if you know children who you would like to invite, there's still space, and so we would love. We've got well over 100 children signed up, but we can take even more. So we would love to have you come if you know of some children who can come. And there are first times for everything. I have never preached in a t-shirt. Never. It will not be the norm. We are not going into some new mode, but we are excited to celebrate Vacation Bible School. And so as we do so, let's bow our heads in prayer. Ask the Lord to bless this time as we bow before Him and also this week. Our Lord and our God, we bow before You. We worship You. We adore You. Blessing, honor, glory, and power belongs to You and to You alone. That's why we're here this morning, Father. We're here to worship You. We're here to adore You. So we ask that You would turn our minds away from worthless things, away from small things, away from glittering things, away from distressing things. Turn our minds to Yourself right now. Help us to see You in a way that we haven't before, all of Your worth, all of Your value, all of Your glory. Father, we pray for our Vacation Bible School that begins this evening, and we ask that You would powerfully work in the lives of young children. As Jesus loved to welcome those children to Himself, we would ask that during this week You would welcome some of these little children into Your family, into Your kingdom, as they put their trust in You. Father, we want to thank You so much for working in our land in this last week. You create life. You create all life in the womb. And finally, our country has taken one step towards rectifying what has been a horrible sin of ours for so long. But Father, we recognize that decisions still need to be made in states, and so we pray for our state that we would recognize the sanctity of life that You create in Your own image. Father, we pray for us as a church that we would be loving, that we would be kind. Lord, we know that there are some, possibly even in our midst, who have walked through the pain of abortion and have asked You for forgiveness. And Lord, You forgive and help us to love. For moms and dads who face the challenge of raising children that maybe they didn't expect to be having, we ask that You would help us to graciously move into their lives, to serve them, to help them, to be kind. We pray for ministries like CareNet. We ask for their protection, but we also ask that You would use them powerfully to walk alongside of these young families. Father, this morning we also pray for our brother Cliff Worthy, who lost his dear wife Mildred, and we ask that You would comfort his heart as he trusts in You, as he looks to You, as he always has. In a special way, would You comfort him now? And as we open Your word, we ask that You would open our hearts. We live in a world that is filled with turmoil, a world that is filled with distress, a world where it seems like we can't find a way to just calm down and rest. And yet You offer us rest. So turn our eyes to Yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you'd open to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, and it's, as you do so, it's page 1002 in the Bibles that are there in the seats in front of you. If you do not have a Bible of your own, please feel free to take that one. We'd love for you to take it as our gift to you. We'd love for you to have a copy of God's Word in your home, so feel free to take that with you. Hebrews chapter 3. This morning we begin in verse 7. This begins a section in Hebrews, moving from chapter 1, the supremacy of the Son, chapter 2, and into the beginning of chapter 3, the singular Savior that we have, into chapter 3, verse 7, down to chapter 4, verse 13, looking at rest. But why don't we experience rest? You know, we live in a culture that is very restless. You watch TV and you see, like I see, all kinds of ads for sleep aids, right? But it's not just insomnia that's the problem. It's what do we do during the day? We find ourselves so troubled by events and things happening around us. And where is rest? How can we really find rest? We always seem to be striving for the next thing, striving for what we don't have, striving to please people, striving to please God. How can we really rest? Well, these verses, we're not going to look at all of them this morning. We're just going to look at verse 7 of chapter 3 down to 11. But this section reminds us that God offers rest, but it's His rest. The difference between a restless and a resting heart is how it responds to God's voice. The difference between restlessness and restfulness is how we respond to God's voice. So if you have your Bibles open now, let's read verses, beginning with verse 7, chapter 3. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. And I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. If we don't enter God's rest, we do not have rest. Because the difference between our restless hearts and our rested hearts is how we respond to the voice of our God. Now, as we've seen every week studying Hebrews, even though we're just taking small sections at a time, Hebrews is consistently referring back to the Old Testament. And the section we just read, verses 7 to 11, all of it, except for the first phrase, comes from the Old Testament. It's a direct quote from Psalm 95. But look at the first phrase. The first phrase is important. The first phrase says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says. What does that tell us? That tells us that Psalm 95 is the words of the Holy Spirit. We don't know who the human author was of that psalm, but we know that as all of the Old Testament is, so this psalm is the exact, complete, perfect words of the Holy Spirit. So if the writer in the New Testament through the Holy Spirit is quoting this extensive part of Psalm 95, as we always notice when we go back to the Old Testament, when we're referenced back to the Old Testament, what is the context? Last week we were looking at a quote that Moses is faithful in all of God's house. That came from Numbers 12. This week, this whole passage comes from Psalm 95. So if you look back at Psalm 95, it's worth looking at. If you've got the Bibles from the seat in front of you, it's page 499. Psalm 95 it ends with this quote. At the end of verse 7, Psalm 95, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as the day of Massa in the wilderness. So in the Hebrews, it says in the day of rebellion. It summarizes that. When your fathers put me to the test, they put me to the proof. Though they had seen my work for 40 years, I was loathed with that generation. They are a people who go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. Therefore, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. That's what's quoted in Hebrews. But how does Psalm 95 start? That's the second half. What's the first half? The first half is a call to worship. That's surprising, isn't it? It's a call to worship. Look at verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with a song of praise. Look down at verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. All of those verses are worship. So we have the first seven verses of Psalm 95, worship. The last part, the end of 7 to verse 11, is wandering. They have wandered astray. They have not listened to my voice. They have rebelled against me. How do worship and wandering fit together? Why does the Holy Spirit talk about calling people to worship, but you chose to wander, to go astray? There's a linch point in this whole psalm, and it's that verse, that first phrase at the end of verse 7, Psalm 95, the end of verse 7, it's the beginning of the part in Hebrews 3, today, if you hear his voice. You see, when we hear God's voice and we respond in worship, we find rest. When we hear God's voice and we said no, we will be restless. No rest. All of this is a commentary on Numbers 14. Now, we're not going to go in depth into Numbers 14. But when he's talking about them hearing his voice, refusing to do what he wanted, they hardened their hearts as in Meribah and Massah. He's referring to Numbers 14. Last week, Moses was faithful in all of God's house, Numbers 12. Now we're at Numbers 14. In Numbers 14, the 12 spies, if you know your Old Testament a little bit, 12 spies had gone into the Promised Land. They're at the edge of the Promised Land. They come back, and 10 of them say, there's no way. There are giants in the land. It's a great land, but there are giants in the land. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, no, but God is able to take us into this land because he's promised it to us. Numbers 14, then, the people respond this way. Verses 1 and 2, all the congregation raised up a loud cry, and the people wept that night. All the people grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. They're afraid to go into the promised land. Oh, that you would hear my voice. God says, I've promised it to you. I will give it to you. They won't listen to him. No, there are giants in the land. A little bit later, Joshua and Caleb try to convince them. No, God has promised this. Listen to God's voice. We can go. There are giants there, but God is bigger. And this is how they respond to Joshua and Caleb. Verse 10 of Numbers 14. Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. God was there. His glory was visible. The tent of the meeting was covered with his glory. They heard his voice. But no, we're not going to go. What were they doing? They weren't worshiping him. Instead, they were wandering in their hearts away from him. They said, we're going to do it our way, not God's way. And so in verse 35 of Numbers 14, God finally says, I, the Lord, have spoken. Surely this I will do to all of this wicked congregation who have gathered together against me. In this wilderness, they shall come to a full end, and there they shall die. They will not enter my rest. Why? They heard his voice. They didn't respond. Psalm 95. We have an option. Worship, a call to worship, first six verses, or wander. Worship and rest, or wander and be restless. You know the song, don't you, that Frank Sinatra used to sing? Said, I did it my way. That's almost the theme song of America in so many ways. I did it my way. God says, you will be restless when you try to do it your way. Listen to my voice. There may be giants in the land in front of you. There may be huge obstacles in the land. You're in the wilderness. That's okay. I have a rest, but it's my rest. Listen to my voice. Stop striving. Instead, start trusting. We move from restlessness to rest when we trust His work on our behalf. After we trust His work, we can really rest. We're going to experience right now an example of what it means to rest in Christ, in His work, trusting His voice. We're going to have a baptism. Carrie comes because she has stopped striving. She is trusting Christ. Carrie approached me a few weeks ago and said, I realize now as an adult that having put my faith in Jesus, I need to be baptized. You see, baptism is not about getting saved. Putting our faith in Christ, asking Him to forgive us for our sins, is what takes our sins away. But baptism is a public testimony, a public example of I have put my faith in Him. And so baptism, going into the water, we're dying with Him. Coming back, we're raised with Him. We trust what Jesus has done for us. Will you listen to my voice? Will you believe what I did on the cross for you? Will you give faith testimony to that? Celebrate with me as Carrie gets baptized.
As a baby, my parents made a commitment to raise me as a believer. I have known of Jesus as long as I can remember. Yet, as a young adult, I started questioning everything I was raised to believe and distinctly left my faith. Continuing through college and after, there had always been an emptiness, one that I could not fill, no matter how hard I tried, with a casual lifestyle, drinking, or harmful relationships. Nothing I did filled the constant void that was there. I knew that it was Christ that was missing, but I was stubborn. In Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to be put into a purse with holes." I made a radical change. I decided to quit my job and go back to school and move. Something had to give. The way I was living my life wasn't fulfilling, and I felt I was just going through the motions. Using that change, I focused on slowly returning back to the Heavenly Father. I knew there were many areas of my life that needed to change, so slowly over the next several months, I focused on attending church, digging into the Word, and looking for ways that God could use me. At this time, I was a new mother, and I knew without a doubt that my son needed to know Jesus, and to do that, I needed to know and repent to Jesus myself. Because I made a very intentional decision to follow Christ as an adult, my faith has become so much deeper. I feel I'm learning about Jesus for the first time. I've been studying the Word, and I'm just in awe over how great our Savior is. How did I not see this before? How did I spend so much time not knowing Jesus? How did I miss so much? After diving back into my Bible and studying the New Testament again, God has convicted me to be baptized by immersion. Because of Christ, I am forgiven. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Without Christ, my life was filled with emptiness and I was selfish. The willingness to submit to God is not always easy. Every day is an active choice to follow and be obedient to Christ. Now as an adult, I have made the choice to be obedient. In John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come for them and make our home with them." My life is now filled with Jesus, and He has blessed me so. Through Him, I have gained close sisters in Christ and have become more forgiving and less selfish. Jesus has stayed with me through many lonely nights, and He has strengthened me while I raise my sons mostly on my own. Every day he is teaching me how to be more like him. Because Jesus has saved me, and I have submitted to him in my obedience, as my Lord and Savior, I am publicly confessing this truth through being baptized. Acts chapter 22, verse 16 says, "And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name."
Gary, in light of your testimony, it's my privilege now to baptize you. I want to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Hearing God's voice and responding by saying yes. We have an option to worship or to wander. The difference between restlessness and restfulness is how we respond to God's voice. You heard Carrie's testimony. I chose to return to him. I chose to follow him. Digging into his word, I hear him. And she said, I realized I need to be baptized. Hebrews chapter 7 begins, chapter 3, verse 7 begins, today, if you hear his voice, not someday, today. I wonder if you're hearing God's voice. I wonder if there's anyone else in this room who may be an adult like Carrie, may have children like Carrie. You've put your faith in Jesus like Carrie, but you've never been baptized. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. But how do we hear his voice? How do we hear God's voice? First and foremost, we hear his voice through his word. Carrie so clearly stated that. I began to read the word of God. We need, each one of us, to read God's word. It's God's gift to us, always available. There are parts of the world, some people who don't have God's word, don't have it in their own language. We do. Brothers and sisters, we need to be in his word, every one of us, every single day. Allow God to speak to you. As you read his word, ask him, what are you saying to me? What do I need to do in response to this? Secondly, we hear God speak to us through his people. You see, the word of God is the word of the Holy Spirit. God lives in his people as well. And so when his people speak to us, especially a gathering of his people, the Holy Spirit is here. When two or three of you are gathered together, I'm there in your presence. God speaks through his people. When we listen to the Holy Spirit, we need to listen quietly. We need to stop speaking so much. We need to stop rushing after we read God's word. We need to let the Spirit of God address things in our lives. It's been a theme all the way through Hebrews, if you've been with us. You look at chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Remember, soak in Jesus. Think about Jesus. You go back just a little bit further to chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard. Remember, we have to pay close attention to these words from the Holy Spirit of Jesus. You go back to chapter 1, verse 2. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. He's speaking. God is not silent. He's speaking through his word. His word is available. He's speaking in our hearts. He's speaking through his people. We need to listen. But when you hear God's word, it's important when you hear God speak that you always, always go back and make sure it's true with his word. Make sure that it's consistent with his word. Make sure that his word is confirming what you believe God has said. Because we can easily deceive ourselves. We can easily say, well, God's told me to do such and such. But sometimes I have heard people say that when it's directly counter to God's written, revealed word. For instance, sometimes we might say, God revealed to me that I should live in this kind of house. When Jesus' own words say, come and follow me, I have nowhere to lay my head. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, God has shown me that he wants me to be happy, so I need to get out of this marriage because I'm not happy. When God's word clearly says, do not separate what God has put together. Sometimes we'll say, God has clearly shown me that I'm going to have a child. When God's word says children are a blessing from the Lord, not a promise for every one of us. You see, we can take what we want and all of a sudden say, no, I'm hearing from God, when let's make sure that it fits with Scripture. God has blessed us with his inerrant, infallible, perfect word. And as long as we listen to his voice in his word, we can be confident that he will give us his peace. So Psalm 95, where all of this is quoted from, let's come and worship, or we choose not to listen and wander. Worship then means that we are hearing God's word, God's voice, and we are responding with a yes. If we compare a restless heart and a resting heart, they're so different. Restless hearts, according to God's word here, are self-hardened. We harden our own hearts. We become stubborn. We become obstinate. But a restful heart is soft. It's pliable. It's what God said through Ezekiel, I will send my spirit to take their hearts of stone and turn them into soft hearts that I can mold. A restless heart is rebellious, like the people at the edge of the promised land. No, we can't go. There are giants. A resting heart is submissive. If you told me to go, I'm going to go and let you figure it out, God. A restless heart is demanding. Without thanksgiving, oh, that we would die here in the wilderness or go back to Egypt. We want it our way. Psalm 95 says, come into his presence with thanksgiving. So a resting heart trusts him and gives thanks for all he's done. A restless heart chooses its own way. It goes astray, as this verse says here in verse 10. A resting heart follows God's paths. You will lead me in paths of righteousness. A restless heart sees God's work, but it doesn't understand his ways. God says, for 40 years you've seen my work. What was his work? He fed them in a wilderness every single day. He gave them water in a desert. Every single day. He made sure that their clothes and their sandals never wore out for 40 years. You saw my work, but you didn't know my ways. Because when I asked you to go into the promised land and have a rest, you said, no, there are giants there. We're not, no way. A resting heart remembers God's works. All the things we've seen him do, and so it trusts him for the future. A restless heart has no rest, but a resting heart enters into God's rest, not our own. Not figuring out how we're going to get this rest. We just trust him to give us his rest. Primarily, uniquely, that happens when we put our faith in Jesus to forgive us. Because we can strive, we can try to please God every day for the rest of our lives, and we will never live up to God's standards. You won't, I won't, none of us will. We have all fallen short of the glory, the standards of God. But that's okay, because God has sent his Son, who did live to those standards and paid for our failure to do so. So we trust Jesus' work because we can't do it. And we enter into his rest. And we will see as we study rest in the book of Hebrews that as we move through these verses, Jesus is our rest. That's what Carrie just personified for us. As she said, I was striving. I was doing all these things. Nothing was satisfying. I turned to Jesus, gave my life to Jesus. Now she can rest. But it begins when we put our faith in Christ. It needs to follow us every day of our lives. You see, God is patient with us. He's not quick to get angry. Sometimes we think, well, God says they will never enter my rest. God is just, he's like an angry God, and he's so holy, I can never please him. No, he is slow to anger. Numbers 14, as the people are rebelling, as they say, we want to stone Caleb and Joshua and Aaron and Moses. We're going to stone you guys because you want to go into the promised land. There's no way we're going there. This is what the Lord says to Moses. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty. For 40 years, it's right there in Hebrews chapter 3, for 40 years they saw my goodness. You see, it wasn't a one-off good thing God did and said, well, did you see that? Now trust me. No, for 40 years they saw his goodness and they said no. It was their persistent refusal, consistent refusal, constant refusal, and finally God said enough. He is slow to anger. He overflows with love, but he is just. And when time after time after time after time we see his goodness, and then we see a giant in front of us and we say, oh, but I can't do that, God says, no, I am slow to anger. I overflow with love, but I have to be just. That's who he is. The difference between a restless heart and a resting heart is how it responds to God's voice. It's the difference between worship, just focusing on who he is and worshiping him, nothing about ourselves, or wandering, which is all about ourselves and what we want. We go our own way. We go astray. Can I ask you this question? I've asked myself this question this week. What have I heard God saying to me? For some of us in this room, it could be you've heard God calling you to himself, to come, let him forgive you, but you keep saying, no, I can't just trust God alone. I can't trust Jesus alone. I got to do something myself. If you've heard his voice, don't harden your heart. Come to him. He wants to give you rest, to take all that striving away. Jesus paid for it all. For some of us in this room, it may be a certain sin in our lives. We've asked Jesus to forgive us, but there is a sin that's persistent, that's constant, that we keep falling back into. And God is saying, just come. I will give you rest. You don't have to strive. I will give you rest, but turn it over to me. Repent. Head in a new direction. For some of us, it may be baptism. And, you know, the older we get, the longer we've been a believer, the harder it is to say, boy, you know what? I really need to be baptized. But it's a commandment of Jesus. Believe and be baptized. And it doesn't matter if you feel like, well, some people in the church, they've known me for a long time. Everyone thinks I'm baptized. For me to go up there and get baptized would be horribly embarrassing. No. It's listening to the voice of God and experiencing rest. For some of us, it may be that God has been saying to us, I want you to go. I want you to go to your neighbor and share your hope in Jesus. I want you to speak to your coworker. I want you maybe, for some of us, to go to a different country and tell them about me. And we've been saying, no, I just can't do that. That's not with me. I'm not strong enough. Just like the Israelites said, no, there are giants over there. We can't go. If you want rest, if I want rest, the difference is how we respond when he speaks to us. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we bow before you. So grateful that you do speak. So grateful that you are ultimately our rest. What Carrie has just shown us through her own example is that we find rest in you and in what you have done, relying on your work. Rest is not found in the place that we live. And rest is not found in our lack of obstacles where there's no giants. Rest is found when we trust you, when we worship you, when we give ourselves to you alone. So, Father, I would pray that you'd speak to every one of our hearts where we have heard your voice. Help us not to just turn around and go our own way and go astray. Help us to say yes and to worship you and to find your rest. We pray in Jesus' name.